Good morning, everybody. It is a pleasure and honor to be with you this morning. We have been talking about messy motherhood over the last, over the last few weeks. And it's quite funny because this weekend I kind of got just a glimpse into this whole topic. It's normally what happens when you talk about something, then your life behind the background kind of implodes a little bit. But I had just a few injuries and a trip to the emergency room for stitches with my six-year-old and all of that, just reminding me that motherhood is messy and that, you know, you can plan things out all you want, but there's so much we don't have control over. And it's actually just good to just actually let go of control and trust God with our children's lives. But it's very great because we have Genevieve Myberg, also known as Jen, who's back here with us today. And she's just got such an incredible story. Now, last week we spent an entire hour and a half discussing her story. So yeah. If you want to hear it in detail, you can actually go onto our podcast section on our website and you can go listen back to the interview. But Jen's going to quickly summarize her very long story just into,
as quick as I can.
As quick as she can. And yeah.
Yeah. So I am a mama of four, but my journey to motherhood was not easy. It was really long and hard, but also crazy cool because God promised me a little United Nations, a family that represented his family, not bound by race, gender, or creed, but by his love. So after 13 rounds of infertility treatment, we adopted our son who came home after 40 weeks in the adoption system. And we enjoyed that. And he came home at 4 months. And then after that, we kept thinking like, okay, how's our family going to grow into the United Nations? And then God came along and he said we were chosen to adopt embryos. And those embryos were Filipino. Mm-hmm. And so boom, we were pregnant via IVF with 2 embryos and we had 2 Filipino girls. And then we thought our family was done. But God came along again and he kept reminding me of these prophecies that I was going to have a son and this was his name. And I mean, we already had my first son, Harlan. And then we found out we were pregnant naturally and we had been given the chance of 0.03 to ever fall pregnant naturally. And then boom, we were pregnant naturally. So yeah, crazy cool story. So our family is a little bit Afrikaans, a little Italian, a little Tswana, and a little Filipino, but it is a lot of kingdom promises fulfilled. Mm. And our family is a story of grace, faithfulness, and surrender to the storyteller that, I hope always brings God's love into the lives of the people who see us. So,
That's so beautiful. And I think last week what really struck me is that we have these very personal desires to want kids and want a family, but ultimately God uses our stories for his glory.
Yeah.
And I can see that so evidently in your family that, God has like all the infertility and everything has led to your family being this picture of God's kingdom, which is just so beautiful and very, very encouraging. So Jen is going to be chatting with us today. We've kind of, like I said, you can go listen to the podcast if you want to hear her story in detail. It's very cool. But today she's going to share with us how she navigates life with 4 kids. Guys, 4 kids is a lot. It's double the amount of kids I have. And they're all... Yeah. Under five.
Yeah. Well, when Gabriel was born, we had 4, 3.5 and under. So
that is so, so busy and crazy. So, she has been in the trenches. She still is. They're still quite young, but she's going to share with us how does she navigate it and how does she, or what truths does she hold onto in her day-to-day motherhood? Because, I think it's easy to lose sight of who we are, of who God is, just get so caught up in the craziness of the day to day, but Jenna's got some encouraging truths to share with us, things that she holds onto as she navigates that day to day. So we're very excited. So stay tuned between 10 and 11. Jen's going to be chatting with us. So don't go anywhere. Your news is going to be here shortly. That was Thank God I Do by Lauren Daigle. So welcome back. You're listening to Impact 103 and I have Genevieve Myberg, also known as Jen, like I said. She's here with us today. She's a mom of 4 and we're not going to get into her whole detailed story again. You can go listen to it on the podcast section of our website. But Jen, like I said, she's a mom of 4 young kids. And so she's just going to share with us some things that she holds on to. Life with young kids is just crazy and you have to kind of hold on to something to keep you sane in the day to day. So Jen, what is the first truth that you hold on to in your journey?
Yeah, I mean, with four small kids, it is so, so busy. And like you say, it is messy. And something that has always struck me is that messy doesn't mean it isn't holy.
Mm.
When we look at the Bible, there are moments that are so very messy. And I think that sort of happens when the finite collides with the infinite. It gets messy.
Yeah.
But there was nothing quite as messy as the crucifixion of Jesus. Mm. It was very, very messy. Knee deep, wading in our sin, he was dirty, bloody, mocked, and crushed for our human mess, our sin, and yet he still pursued the cross for our righteousness, our eternity, for our restoration to the Father. He didn't run from the mess. He didn't take it away, because Jesus could have. He could have just stepped out of that mess. He was in it fully, because that's what Jesus does. Like, he steps into our mess and he pulls us out of it.
Mm.
And so I'm constantly reminded that even though motherhood is messy, it is still holy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that I am also knee deep in the mess of motherhood, of dirty nappies and tantrums and just being stretched so thin by four little people who need me in a million different ways, because Jesus is with me and he knows what that mess is, and yeah, it doesn't scare him. Jesus doesn't walk into my home and my life and go like, oh, Jen, you know, the washing hasn't been done and there's a dirty nappy. He embraces it. He comes with me and he says to me that motherhood is holy because we are raising the next generation.
Yeah.
And so even if it is messy, we're sitting in a holy place of raising the next generation for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I always hold on to that. It doesn't matter what my house looks like. It doesn't matter what I look like. Yeah. Motherhood is messy, but it also incredibly holy.
That's so beautiful. I really love that. That's such a good place to start. And I think, you know, I always had this question for God, like, why do we have to raise kids when we're our most tired?
Yeah.
Like, we have the least wisdom in raising kids, but the stakes are so high. Like, you know, the first 7 years are like the most fundamental, yeah, and you're the most sleep deprived.
Yeah.
But I think it is in that messiness that we become more holy. We become more like Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and you have to lean on him, because there's just no other options. You're tired. You don't know what you're doing. There's children needing you. And so you're being pulled in a million different directions.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well,
yeah,
only Jesus.
Totally. I think it has been designed that way so that we go and we draw closer to him.
Yeah.
If we had all the answers, we would have no need for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And an understanding of his, you know, fatherhood to us. Like, we're messy and he's still in it and with us.
Yeah.
And he's pushing for it. And so he's like, here's the example, live it out with, so that you know how I feel. Because, I mean, it doesn't matter how messy motherhood is, you love your kids and you're there for them. So
Yeah, and that's so good. Okay, we're going to get back to this conversation in a second. So, Jen, you're talking about these truths that you hold on to as a mom of four,
mm-hmm,
and navigating the craziness of the day today. What is the second truth that you want to share?
Yeah, so the second thing I hold on to is that mothers are precious to the heart of God. There is no one quite unseen as a mother, because we do so much in our homes and for our families, and I think it often goes unseen, and you feel unappreciated. But God sees us. And he sees the works of our hands and he calls us precious.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers. He calls mothers precious. When I look at the word of God and I look at God made man, God with us, the Emmanuel, and we look at Jesus, he was first trusted to a woman, to a mother.
Yeah.
It's amazing for me to think that the God of the universe was a tiny baby. The all-knowing becomes flesh, the mighty eternal a helpless babe, and the omnipresent and omnipotent held in the warm, tiny, squishy, fragile body of a newborn baby, held by a mother. Like, that is incredible for me, because it tells me that in all of the universe, God went like, I'm giving my only begotten son to a human mother to look after. And that tells me I must be precious to him.
Yeah.
And so Mary was his mother. And it's beautiful for me, because before Jesus could walk the water, Mary was holding his hands to teach him how to walk. And before he could feed the 5,000, she was nourishing him out of her own body. She was, although he went on to have this amazing ministry, he had to first be a babe and a toddler and a child, and she had to walk him through that. And that tells me that God trusts mothers so deeply with something that is so precious to him, and that's carrying on the next generation.
Yeah.
And so when I feel like, you're cooking food and doing this and it's admin and all of the stuff you need to organize, and feel like you're not being seen, I remember that God sees me, because he saw Mary and he said she was precious, and therefore mothers are precious to the heart of God.
Wow, that's actually so encouraging, because I just think, as you say that, I've never seen it like that, but it's so true. Like, out of everyone in the world, God trusted a woman, like a mother, because he knew that mother would fight. I mean, you know how you feel about your kids. Yes, you will fight for them.
Yeah.
And I mean, any great person in this universe, anyone who's done something great has been raised by a mom first.
Yeah.
And so it's encouraging, because it's like, you know, on those hard days, hard moments, I'm actually busy raising a child who will one day possibly change the world.
And not even if maybe change the world, change someone's world.
Yes.
And it's like, that is also a mind shift. Like, we are raising change makers for the next generation. And they might not be the next, you know, Mother Teresa or whatever, but they're going to change someone's life. And we are the fundamental foundation to that, because we are teaching them that, we're showing them that. And it's, yeah, it's so beautiful for me that Jesus came as a baby. It tells us so much about the heart of God, like that humility. And then also that mothers were trusted to that. Like, I can't imagine what she must have felt like when she gave birth to Jesus, and she was like, okay, cool, this little squishy baby is the God of the universe. Like, kaboom, my brain would have exploded.
It's
amazingly cool.
Wow, I really love that perspective. Okay, Jen's got a few more things to share with us before we're done at 11.
Did you?
That was Give My All about Audacious Worship. So, Jen, what else has God just shown you and taught you?
Okay, I think one of the things about motherhood is like how relentless it is. Like, it is so relentless. And the one thing that God has really blessed me with is that I have infinite resources at hand. If the God of the universe, who is infinite, lives in me, then I have that inside of me.
Yeah.
And so I firmly believe there is also no question the word of God can't answer. So when I'm having a really hard day as a mother and I'm pulling my hair out in frustration and I'm at my wit's end, God simply says, I'm here and seek me, because I can get what I need from him. When my eldest is testing me and pushing hard on those boundaries, God says, love is patient. Yeah. When my kids are running wild and not listening and all I want to do is shout and scream, and I come from an Italian family, so that's really in me, God says, love is kind.
Yeah.
When my kids break something precious of mine, and in my case, my kids have lost something precious of mine, God says, love remembers no wrong. And I need to forgive 70 times 7. And that even applies to my children. Like, we can't read the word of God and go like, oh, those are for the strangers and the people at church and whatever. That is an instruction to all of us. And it is for our children as well.
Yeah.
And so we're here to emulate the Father who does that for us. He is unending in his love and his patience and his forgiveness. And I have access to that.
Yeah.
He is slow to anger and abounding in love. And so I must be slow in anger and abounding in love.
Yeah.
It says he is just. And so I need to be just with my children, especially when I'm disciplining them, because it's easy to discipline out the flesh. And those things are hard. Like, those things are really hard as a human.
Yeah.
It's really hard. It's the hardest thing to do. But Jesus did it. And he came and said, you don't have to do it by yourself. I'm here for you. You just need to tap into me. And so even when I'm struggling and I feel like I can't do this anymore, and I have my moment where I just go into the bathroom and my children know, like, Mom needs 2 minutes of peace, please.
Yes.
Then I'm tapping into him. Like, what does his word say? What does he say to me? And I can apply that in my motherhood. There's no question it can't answer for me. So it doesn't matter what I'm going through with my kids in my motherhood, in frustration or whatever. Yeah, he's there and he's answering for me. So.
Yeah, I remember hearing a story about, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, but his wife, like, in order to have a peaceful, quiet time, she would... I think she had a ton of kids, but she would put a blanket over herself and just like hide under the blanket.
Yeah. My kids won't.
Just like play dead.
Yeah. I think that's why it's so unrelenting. You don't get a moment off. I remember somebody asking me before they had kids, when we had kids, and they were like, well, you know, what's so hard about it? I was like, there's no pause button.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get a pause button. And that makes it so hard. But at the same time, I have access to Jesus all the time. Yeah. He tore the veil. I can step in.
Yeah.
And so whenever I need him, he's there. And so that infinite resource exists in me.
Yeah.
And that sometimes I'm just like, I have to take a moment, my 20 seconds in the bathroom by myself.
Yes.
And just tap back into him and go like, I'm not making it. I need you. Like, Spirit, come fill me, because I'm losing my mind.
No, it's totally. I'm reminded, like, a few years ago at a mom's group, someone shared this scripture from Psalm 16, and from verse 7, I'll praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Mm-hmm. And she spoke like about how as a mom, it's like mm-hmm. even in the middle of the night, yeah. you know, when you're with that baby and yeah. they're not trying to, or they're not wanting to sleep and you're trying to get them to sleep, you know, he's there yeah. and he counsels yeah. you and he's there in the middle of the night with
yeah.
you.
When you're changing the nappies and the baby's screaming, Jesus yeah. is right there. And he's, yeah, I mean, it's amazing for you. Like, and that's the beauty of our Christianity, even in your motherhood,
yeah.
is we get to just lean on him in yeah. tiredness, in brokenness, yeah. in not knowing what to do. So it doesn't matter if you've got a newborn, a toddler that you're chasing, or a teen who doesn't want to yeah. answer, or an adult kid that wants nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You have infinite resources to tap into.
Yeah, no, so true. So my story from earlier, it wasn't Charles Spurgeon's mom. It was John Wesley's mom. Thanks for that correction. But Jen is still sharing with us just some of the things that she's learned through her motherhood journey. So mm-hmm. go for it, Jen.
Yeah, so something that, especially in our years of infertility, because, yeah, so Holland came home when we were going through 6 years of infertility, but technically we went through 10.
Mm.
In that shame and the darkness, there were lots of questions and lots of pain, and I really learned in that time to be very honest with the Heavenly Father.
Mm.
And because when we look at the heroes of our faith, we don't see people delirious and oblivious to their afflictions. They weren't blind to what the world was stacking against them. In fact, I see people who are really deeply aware of what the afflictions were,
yeah.
but they still lean deeper into God. And they were very real with God. You know, they were brutally honest. And when we look at it, we see Jacob wrestling, and we see Elijah moaning. We see Jesus anxious and weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we see Paul crying out of prison. Their humanity was clear by their emotions. It was pouring out of them. They were crying out to God with honesty. They were scared. They were sad. They were disappointed. They were angry, frustrated. And yet in that rawness, they let God into their hearts, even though it was messy and ugly. The human condition was messy, and they let their emotions be seen by God. And in that, God came and he comforted, he encouraged, he held them up, he fathered his children with love. And so I'm always really honest with God.
Yeah.
I let my emotions rage out at him because he's my dad, he's my yeah. father. I know he's going to still love me through this, and I can let that all out. I can be cross, I can be angry, because in that then he whispers, like, I know, like he knows what I'm going through. Because God doesn't want just our Sunday best. He doesn't need our neat and pretty prayers and our highlighted Bibles. He doesn't need our Pinterest homes. He wants everything.
Yeah.
Even our ugly and our messy and dark bits. And I think motherhood brings that out so much in you. Like, yeah. you think you're doing pretty good. Then you have kids and you're like, oh no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, kind of tend to bring out all your qualities.
The hard things, and also the things that you never thought would be an issue. Yeah. And then you sort of realize, oh wait, this is really a big issue.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to be just honest with God about that ugliness in me, because that's the only way God's light comes in.
Yeah.
And so I vent my frustrations daily. I mean, my children know, because I sometimes just go like, oh, Jesus, please, at this moment, and I'll talk yeah. like in front of them about it. You know, yeah. they know that I'm talking with him. I'm venting my frustration out with him, because, yeah, he's our Heavenly Father. And as much as we want our children to come and talk and vent about those things with us,
yeah.
he wants us to do it with him. There's intimacy in that.
Yes.
We don't have to be scared and hide what we're actually feeling, because God already knows and he wants that from us. To be filled and strengthened for the life we're living that is so messy is to go to the Father and be honest. Look, I'm empty. It's really dark in there.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if we're honest with God, and the faith heroes were, I mean, Elijah going like, he's done.
Yeah.
You can take him now, you know. Yeah. He sat there and he was like, I'm done, Jesus. That is honesty, and that's what God requires of us. And I think motherhood, like, brought me to my knees in that.
Yeah.
I had to be deeply honest with Jesus. Like, I'm not coping.
Yeah.
Especially with twins.
Yeah, no, I can just imagine. But it reminds me of David. Like, you know, he was called a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
But he was someone who was no, like, stranger to emoting in a very big way. And yeah, God isn't put off by that. And I really think that if we're not honest about, like, where we're at, our weaknesses, our struggles, we're not going to live authentically, and we're going to we're going to actually deceive ourselves if we can't be honest about our own shortcomings.
And that's how you get really tripped up, because all of a sudden you're falling over something that you told yourself wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I think with motherhood, you have to be so honest that there are things that are tripping you up, because you don't want to live that out on your children. Like, you want your children to live lives that are in freedom, because that's what God calls us to.
Totally.
And so I've got to step into those dark places with Jesus and be like, you know, actually, I'm really angry at my twins because they did what, you know?
Yeah.
And that emotion is real and it's raw. But if I go to Jesus with it, then he comes and says, well, here's my word. Here's my, you know, here's the spirit. Yeah. Let it tone you down, you know?
Mm.
And you can communicate your pain and he can soothe it.
Yeah.
Because you're honest.
Yeah.
So, and I think motherhood, there's this idea that we need to be perfect, and that's not true. We don't need to be perfect.
Definitely.
Like we know the perfect father. Mm. And so we go to him when we're struggling, when we're battling.
Yeah. And you're modeling humility to your children by example, showing what it is like to just...
Yeah, I'm not perfect. Yeah. I get angry.
No, exactly.
Sometimes you do irritate me, kind of. Like, I'm human. I'm allowed to have those emotions. Yeah. But because I'm a Christian, I take them to Jesus first.
Yes.
I lay them at his feet. And that's what I'm teaching my kids when I do that, is like, you can be angry, you can be sad, you can be frustrated.
Yeah.
But we take that, we bundle it up, and we go to Jesus' feet and we say, yeah, I don't know what to do with this anymore because my emotions are taking over.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, we're going to say goodbye to Jen in a sec. But first, here's Grateful Four by Natalie Lane. So Jen, there's one last thing you'd like to share with us. Please go for it.
Yeah, so something, a conviction of mine with my kids is that mothers don't preach the gospel, they teach it.
Mm.
Yeah, we're not standing above our kids in a pulpit talking to them about Jesus. We are not using words with our children to teach them about God. I mean, we do, but we are in the mess of life. We're showing them, we're teaching them, we're guiding them. We're wading through the mundane as we point to the Father. And I think we've all heard it. Kids do not do what they hear or what they're told. They do what they see.
Yeah.
And I think that weighs heavy on our shoulders. You know, being a mother is an all-consuming journey because we carry the weight of our children's lives on our shoulders. What we do now with them not just sets them up for their life and the right way to go, but it also echoes into eternity. So as Christians, we carry the weight of our children's eternity, and that's a lot. But, I mean, we can't give them salvation, but we are the mirrors of God in their lives. We are showing our children the way by pointing them to Jesus. And we're going to fail. There's no two ways about it. I think I fail daily, maybe even momentarily. and I really, really do. And that's okay, because I get to show my kids that I'm not perfect, but I know the perfect father, like we said.
Mm.
I'm going to fail them, but he will never fail them. I'm human. I succumb to my flesh. But God is bigger and more infinite than this human body of mine and my weak emotions. So I have to point to him daily in how I do things. It's important for our children to see us living out our faiths earnestly. I laughed so much once because Harland is at that stage where he asks like 1,000 questions a day. And so sometimes I don't really have the answer for him because I'm just like, I can't do another question. And so I tell him, you must go ask Jesus these questions. He's going to give you the answer.
A good one.
Yeah. Like when he wants to ask why leaves are green, I'm like, bro, I don't know. Ask Jesus. and the one day we were driving home from school and he said to me, Mom, when I get home, like I want some sweets and chocolates. And I was like, bro, we're not eating sweets and chocolates when you get home. And then he turned around and he said to me, you know, but I asked Jesus. Jesus said yes.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, cool. I can't argue with that, I suppose. But for me, that's kind of it. Like, he's learning that there's an authority above me.
Yeah.
He's learning that he can go to the Father without me being there.
Yeah.
Like, he has access to Jesus and that he's an equal heir. I mean, my kid is only 5. But the Spirit can live in him as much as it lives in me.
Yeah.
The Spirit doesn't know age. God doesn't look at my son and think he's less.
Yeah.
So it's like that whole thing of we're walking together in this thing and we're teaching our children to point to Jesus, to go like, doesn't matter what's going on in life, you just run to Jesus.
Yeah.
So he's learning to trust God because he's seeing me do it.
Yeah.
He's learned to love God wholeheartedly because he saw me doing it. He's learned to love God's people because he saw me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned to serve because he saw me serving him. And so it's that whole concept of I have to also wash my children's feet like Jesus washed the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
I have to live out my faith. for them to see it. I can't just tell them about Jesus, you know, like that's important. Reading our Bible is, but he's going to do what he sees me doing.
Yeah.
So it's something that's so poignant for my motherhood is that he sees me doing it.
Yeah.
You know, often on a Friday, they come home from school and then I'll be like, cool, we're going to put worship music on. And we all dance in the house like crazy people because I want them to learn that freedom of just run to Jesus. I'm going to fail you. The world's going to fail you. Disappointment's going to happen, but you can just run to him. And they see it because I run to Jesus when life gets hectic.
I think that's so good because I think often I've heard someone talk about how we can deify our parents. We can make them into these godlike creatures. And then there's this day where we discover their humanity. And it's quite a shock for someone. And I think we do our kids a disservice to put ourselves on that pedestal because we want to be needed.
Yeah.
But that isn't helpful because we are going to disappoint, but God won't, like you said. And so it's this journey of actually pointing them to Jesus. You know, for example, we don't teach them to be obedient just for the sake of, you know, like being obedient to authority. Yeah. We're teaching them obedience to God ultimately. And so that they can know where to go to. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Like,
train your kids in the ways of the Lord so they won't depart from it.
Yeah. And I think also we can always just point back to Jesus in everything that we do. If, when I discipline my children, I explain to them why I have to discipline.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't just put a rod over me and says like, you're a bad gem, you know.
Yeah.
God tells me I'm doing this because if you do that, that and that, this is going to happen. There's consequences to your actions. And so there's, we're just pointing back to Jesus the whole time. And it's, and for me, it's actually this beautiful thing in Christian motherhood that I'm not doing this by myself, that I get to go like, yes, Jesus, I'm not making it today. I'm going to fail you. Maybe you are upset with me, or maybe you're not even in my presence. Like a kid's teasing you at school.
Yes.
Go to Jesus because I can't be with you the whole time.
Yeah.
And so it's, it's for me, it's a beautiful thing of I can let my kids go because Jesus has got them.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier, that emptiness syndrome I know will come one day.
Yeah, totally. Jen, thank you so much just for sharing your wisdom and just your love for Jesus is so evident. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much just for sharing the intimate parts of your motherhood journey.
Such a pleasure.
So if you're just catching on to this conversation now, you can go to the podcast. We'll upload it later today and you can catch last week's chat and today's chat with Genevieve Marburg. Mm-hmm. If you want to see more of her journey online, she shares a lot of her story and her day-to-day life on Instagram, Facebook, at Grace and Kindred. And you can just go check out her story. She just really loves encouraging other moms in their day-to-day journeys.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jane. Thanks. You are such a treasure to us moms. But guys, Tondi's going to be with you next. I will be again here with you next week. Next week, we're going to be wrapping up this whole messy motherhood theme for the month. So don't go anywhere. I've got another special guest next week. So really, thank you for tuning in today. And here is Magnify by Mac Brock.